Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
Welcome back to another episode of Mason Avenue in Conversation. My name is Brian Salvatore, but I will not be your host for this week. My pal Steve Sipa, host of From Complex to Queens, our minor league podcast, is taking the reins this week to talk to a member of the 2019 championship Brooklyn Cyclones team, Antoine Duplantis. And so without any further ado, take it away, Steve.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Steve Sipa, and I'm joined by former LSU star and 2019 Brooklyn Cyclone champion, Antoine Duplantis. Antoine, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. So let's start at the beginning here. Your dad was a pole vaulter. Your mom was a heptathlete and a volleyball star. You and all your siblings, you know, you're equally athletic into sports. What was it like growing up in a family of so many athletes?
It was cool, and it was, it was interesting. It was fun. And, it kept you motivated throughout your childhood. You know, you wanted to excel at whatever sport you did. Whether it was playing baseball, football in the yard, you know, skateboarding, we kind of did it all. And, it kind of kept everybody on their toes because we all pushed each other to be good at things. And, you know, our parents didn't really even have to bother us. We all wanted to do it. And we all love to do, and we all love to compete. So it was a fun environment, and it was just a fun childhood, kind of having brothers that have the same interests as you.
So who did you grow up rooting for? Like, who was your favorite player as a kid, as a teenager?
I really didn't have a favorite player. You know, I didn't have a guy I specifically idolized. I kind of just watch it all, and I appreciate, you know, all professional baseball players, and I liked watching, you know, Ichiro growing up, Chipper Jones, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, just everybody. And I think each player has things that you can learn from them and apply to your own game. So I didn't really have like a specific guy that was like my favorite.
All right, so your parents obviously went to LSU, your older brother went to LSU. Was there ever a question that you'd go there as opposed to, University of Louisiana at Lafayette or some other college?
No, it was never a question of if I wanted to go there. It was more a question of, if they wanted me to go there. So, as in LSU. So, you know, that's always where I wanted to end up. And, I worked really hard in high school and, you know, eventually I got my chance and got recruited by LSU. And obviously, I took the offer as soon as they reached out to me. So that was always the place I wanted to end up at, and I knew, you know, maybe it wasn't possible just for reasons. Maybe I wasn't good enough, or other reasons such as just not getting lucky enough for a coach to see me. But fortunately, you know, they saw me on a good week, and they liked me enough to throw me an offer.
So obviously, you know, you did well enough in high school to get that recruitment from LSU, but there are also MLB scouts around all the time, I'm sure. Was it ever hard to kind of ignore all those guys and just concentrate on college as opposed to possibly going professional after high school?
Not really. I never wanted to go professional at high school, honestly. Growing up in Louisiana, LSU is almost like your major league team. You know, we have a huge, huge fan support. I was an LSU fan growing up. I watched pretty much all their games. All my friends were LSU fans, and the LSU baseball players, LSU football players, they're celebrities around town. So that's always where I wanted to go. And I didn't even have a thought of wanting to go professional at a high school. I wasn't I didn't feel I was ready, and I didn't feel that the opportunity to go to LSU was too good to pass up.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times freshmen kind of have to, you know, prove themselves a little bit. And, you know, in your freshman year, you did great. You played in all 66 games that year. You hit 327. You were a freshman All-American, a freshman All-SEC. Did you ever feel like the pressure that you were considered like, you know, a big-time legacy recruit and that you had to perform?
Not really, because I wasn't really a big time recruit. Honestly, I was recruited pretty late in the process, and I wanted to go up there. And once we got there, no matter if you were one of those high school All-Americans, you know, and got a full scholarship, or whether you're a guy like me who didn't really get recruited too much, and was recruited kind of late to come to LSU, we were all treated the same once we got there. We all had to prove ourselves. So. That's all I cared about. I just wanted to get there in the fall and prove that I could hang with those guys.
Gotcha. Obviously, you did great in your first year and you did great in your sophomore year. And the Tigers as a whole, they did great in your sophomore year. You guys made it to the College World Series. What was it like making it to Omaha and then coming so close to winning the NCAA championship?
That was great. That was such a fun year. I think we had an 18-game win streak at the end of the year. Winning is unlike anything else, especially at a school like LSU that cares so much and people care so much, and people are reaching out to you, and everywhere you go, people are talking to you about the season and everything. It was so awesome, especially go to Omaha and see the LSU fans kind of take over that city in that championship game. Unfortunately, we didn't end up winning the whole thing, but just to be there. I think there was 25,000-30,000 people in the stands, and I bet about 15,000-20,000 of them were LSU fans. It was a sight to see. It was a lot of purple in Omaha, and it was just fun to just be with that group of guys, and that was something special we did that year. Even though we didn't reach our ultimate goal, it was still a special year.
So the year after 2018, same thing. You hit over 300, plenty of extra base hits, plenty of stolen bases. And eventually Cleveland came and they selected you in the 19th round of the draft, and you didn't sign. I know they didn't meet, the criteria that you're looking for, but was it a tough decision, at the time?
A little bit, but, looking back on it, I think I made it tougher on myself than it really was. I don't think it was any question that I should have came back to LSU. I think what I got to do my senior year and what I got to accomplish and just leaving that school with no regrets about what I've done is just a feeling that, I'm just super grateful for that feeling. So I had a few offers earlier than the Indians, and I didn't want to take them because I didn't feel like they were right, and the Indians just ended up taking me anyway. I think they kind of knew that I wasn't going to sign, so it wasn't really too hard of a decision because they didn't really come at me too aggressively because they kind of knew I wanted to come back at that point.
Yeah. Well, one of the benefits of going back in your senior year is that you got to beat Andy Furness's all-time hit record, which you did. So how does it feel knowing that, in future generations, there are going to be guys that are chasing your record?
Can you repeat that?
Going back to LSU, you got to beat Andy Furness's hits record. So how does it feel knowing that, there's going to be future generations of LSU players that are going to be chasing your record?
Oh, it makes me feel great. And I hope somebody beats it one day, because I hope they get to experience, the same feelings that I got to experience. And especially experience just the atmosphere of, how much the fans appreciate it. So, I get people come up to me all the time ever since I've graduated from LSU, just thanking me for the season I had. And that's what makes it so special. It's not like a selfish thing where I'm, all about myself, but more about, I appreciate how much everybody else appreciates what I've done. And that's what makes everything so special, because everybody, loving that so much and wanting to be there and wanting to be a part of it. It just makes it all worth it in the end, and all the, the different things all the obstacles I've had to encounter throughout the way.
Hey, I'm Spencer Hall.
I'm Holly Anderson.
I'm Ryan Nanny.
I'm Jason Kirk, and we're the hosts of the Shutdown Fullcast, your Avengers of College Football podcast. It says here in the script I'm to riff on what that means, and basically what I mean is it's all already spoiled.
Every Tuesday, we talk about everything from cooking disasters to pro wrestling to unfashionable pants we wore in middle school.
We also do talk about college football every now and then, like mascot fights, announcers fleeing the booth early, and unfashionable pants that coaches wear now.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it should be taken, subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast app.
Who are some of like your favorite teammates that you've played with over the years when you were at LSU?
Oh, there's a ton. I don't even know where to start, because then I'll leave some people out. But I appreciate you know all the guys on our team. Some of my best friends, Josh Smith, Cole Freeman, Hal Hughes, Eric Walker, they're all great teammates. And then there's different guys like Chris Reed, who started pretty much his whole season his freshman year. Then that our sophomore year, he got a spot taken by a freshman, Josh Smith, but he was still, as supportive as ever. He was on the end of the bench, cheering on his team no matter what. And, he was never pouting about it. That's kind of teammates I had at LSU. And I'm grateful for that, to kind of see how some of those guys handle, not playing every day, because when you're in high school, you're usually the best player there. That's why you go to Division I baseball. You get there, and it can be tough for people to not be in the lineup every day, and to see some of the guys I've played with, handle that and still find a way to help your team win. It's pretty cool.
So after your college career winded down, you got drafted by the Mets in the third round this past season, and you got assigned to Brooklyn. And obviously Lafayette and Baton Rouge, they're not little cities. Like you were saying before, you played in front of tens of thousands of people at LSU. But, maybe I'm being a little proud here as a Brooklyn native, but none of those places are Brooklyn. So what was it like to play, to come here, to play in Brooklyn in front of that crowd? Not culture shock.
It was definitely a different culture, but I wasn't in shock by it. I've been to a lot of different places and experienced some different things, but it definitely was one of the more unique atmospheres I've been a part of, and I loved it though. It was really cool to get to play at that stadium. That is such a unique place with that roller coaster and Coney Island in the background, and just to be at that field. It was just really cool. And just being in that city, I got to explore a lot, got to eat a lot of good food, go shopping, make new friends on that team. And, it was just a fun all around experience.
You talk about friends. So what was it like playing with Jake? Cause obviously both of you guys being 4-year players in the SEC, you're very similar hitters. You chased each other for records and being in the leaderboards. You guys crossed paths so many times, so you're always opponents. So what was it like, hitting in front of him or behind him and then playing next to him in the outfield?
Oh, it was really cool. We've been friends for the past four or five years, ever since we got to college. And, it's just been kind of cool seeing both of our, paths cross and us both having kind of the same experiences. He called me after day two of the draft, our junior year, because I didn't even realize it at the time until he called me that we both didn't get drafted that day. We were kind of expecting to go higher than we ended up going. So it was cool to have a guy kind of in the same boat as you, and it's almost weird because he's almost in the exact same boat as me. Same type of player, same type of thing happened. We're both chasing the same record. I feel like we both kind of mean a lot to our program in the same type of way, and we both put our heart and soul into the program. But to have him as a roommate this summer and kind of experience our first professional baseball season was cool as well, because we both had our struggles, we both had our adjustments we had to make, and we got to kind of talk about it and talk it through with each other.
So Brooklyn obviously had a magical season this year. You guys won the first New York Penn championship that Brooklyn one solo, and in that final game, you were a big part of that. The Spinners took the lead in the top of the seventh, and then the bottom of the inning, Jake was on first, and you tripled, and you tied the game at 3-3. What was going through your head in that at-bat, and then, you know, as you were rounding the bases?
I remember I had struck out the at-bat before off the same pitcher, and he was throwing some really good change-ups, so I was just trying to, I kind of adjusted my approach, and I was trying to look for a pitch the other way and trying to shoot it to left field so I could stay on his changeup. And he ended up throwing me a fastball in, and I just reacted. And, you know, I ended up putting a good swing on it. So, I was just trying to stick to my approach that at bat and just lay off that dude's good changeup and not pull off anything. And ended up working out, and that was super fun. I was really excited when I got on third base. The people that were there were really, really fired up, and it was a fun experience winning that championship and to be a part of it.
Yeah, in the ninth, when Andrew Edwards, you know, a couple of guys got on base, but when he struck out those last two guys, what was it like? You know, I was in the stands, and like you were saying, the crowd was like electric, but what was it actually, you know, being on the field, getting mobbed with everybody, and just celebrating and everything?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, it's such a long summer especially after playing a college baseball season, then going to Brooklyn, you know, playing that. And, you know, during the year, it's really not about winning. Every day you go out there, you try to win a game, but you're also trying to, you know, make your adjustments and, you know, fit the mold and try to be the best player you can be for the organization. And then once it comes to the end of the season, you've kind of made your adjustments, and now it's time to win again. That makes it fun. So you kind of come together as a team instead of worrying about, you know, what you're working on that day or whatever. And, you know, kind of put it together and kind of be more of a team. So that was a cool aspect, and to kind of celebrate after all of that came together is a special feeling, kind of with those guys that went through the whole grind with you.
So next year you'll either be signed to Columbia or St. Lucie. So where do you see yourself going? You know, what kind of stuff do you want to work on and improve for the 2020 season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I'm gonna end up, but you know, wherever they put me, be fine with me. But you know, I just wanna get a little more physical, get faster, stronger, bigger, and you know, just kind of work on my swing a little bit, make a few tweaks, and you know, not really make any drastic changes, and just kind of get myself mentally prepared for the long year, and kind of, you know, go over some mental notes of you know, reminding myself that it's a really long year. It's going to be even longer than the year that I had this past year. And, you know, not every day is going to make or break your season. So you kind of got to take it one at bat at a time. So, you know, just a few things I've thought about, and just a few things that I'm just going to help myself prepare for the year.
All right. And one final question here, and this might be the most important one. Again, as a Brooklyn native, this is probably closest to my heart here. Where's your favorite pizzeria? What's your favorite pizza place?
Favorite pizza place?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say DeFara, man. I know that might be basic, but I think that was the best pizza I had there. I had some other good ones, but DeFara, I think, was my favorite.
See, I'm a Spumoni Gardens guy, so now I'm even better.
I had Spumoni Gardens, and it was phenomenal too. It's just different. It's a lot different than they both just have their different things. But I loved Spumoni Gardens, and I loved DeFara. I know what's that place by the field? Grimaldi's.
Mm-hmm.
Grimaldi's.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Place is pretty good too. Pretty good too. But you know, I'd say it's DeFara, and then Spumoni is a close second.
All right. Well, is there anything that you'd like to plug before we go?
No, man, I think that's about it.
All right, well, Antoine, thank you for your time. Everybody, this, you know, everyone's rooting for you for next season.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can follow Steve Sipa on Twitter, at Steve Sipa, as well as Antoine, at Antoine_DUPL. You can find Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Amazing Avenue. You can get this show from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found, you can most likely find this. please rate, review, and subscribe if you can. That would help us out quite a bit. We hope to have a few more of these in-conversation shows going up real soon. The off-season tends to be a good time to talk to players as opposed to during the season when they're, well, you know, playing baseball. And so, until next time, let's go Mets.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.